Hi, everyone. I'm Susan Loewenberg, producing director of LA Theater Works, with our special guest, playwright Lloyd Suh. In addition to Franklin Land, he's written acclaimed plays, including The Chinese Lady, The Wong Kids in The Secret of the Space Chupacabra Go, Jesus in India, and many more. He's a resident playwright at New Dramatists, a lifetime member of Ensemble Studio Theater, and the recipient of the Guggenheim Fellowship and the Herb Albert Award in the Arts. Lloyd Suh, welcome to LA Theater Works.
Thanks, Susan. It's great to be here.
Let's get right into Franklin Land. How did you come up with the idea, and how did you develop the play?
Yeah, the play wouldn't have existed if not for the Stone project at Ensemble Studio Theater, which commissions and develops and produces plays about science and technology. And I remember, many, many years ago, Billy Carden, Graham Gillis, and Lindsay Furman at EST just asking me, hey, anything about, do you have any ideas about science or technology? And at the time, I was reading about Benjamin Franklin just for fun. I was reading an autobiography or a biography. And I just found him really fascinating. And it the timing was great, because when they asked, I was just thinking about how extraordinary it was that this guy was a inventor in addition to what he's most famous for, which is, of course, being a founding father. And just thinking about, like, I, at the time, I was thinking about work-life balance. You know, how do I carve out the time to do the things that I need to do and want to do, and just marveling at, like, how did this guy do all of this stuff?
But how did you come up with the central notion of the play, which really is the father-son relationship? How did it shift from, you know, the public man to the private man for you?
Yeah, that's a great, because I suppose I tend to write a lot about family. I tend to find a lot of drama in that, the conflict between what one is inventing, what vision one has of the future, and what vision one has of how they want their family to be.
A lot of the interactions between Ben and William are actually laugh out loud funny. I'm thinking especially of the scene early on when they're discussing, quote, the pleasures of the flesh. Did any of your research turn up Ben's feelings on the subject, or did you take some liberties there?
Yeah, that a little bit of both. Yeah. I probably took some liberties just in the details, but in terms of the broad strokes, I think a lot of that was just very true.
Franklin Land is, most of all, it seems to me, a story about fathers and sons. In the play, Ben says things to William like, I'm kind of a hard act to follow. I mean, coming from anyone else, that sounds like a big, big ego at work. But considering that he's a brilliant inventor, a widely published author, and one of America's founding fathers, I think Ben's earned the right to brag. How does William, or any son of an accomplished father, deal with the pressure of living up to their dad's reputation?
I think for me as a writer, approaching this material was definitely rooted in a sense of wanting to really think about the legacy of America, the ways in which being a citizen are similar to being a son. What do you do? How do you grapple with? How do you navigate a legacy?
When William decides to accept the job as governor of New Jersey, it seems to me that he's declaring his independence from Ben. Yet he still wants Ben to be proud of him. I mean, it's a powerful turning point in the play. How does their relationship up until then lead to that decisive moment?
Yeah, I mean, I think that impulse to want to declare independence is, if you find the equivalent in just in American history, that equivalent would be the you know, what did it take to declare independence from Britain? It took a turning point of being like, well, we can't live like this anymore. We have to be our own thing. And I think the conflation of those two things is, was always pretty exciting to me.
About that scene, when William tells Ben that he's going to become the governor of New Jersey, Ben repeatedly exclaims, "New Jersey?" as if it's the worst possible place on earth. Speaking as someone who was born and raised in Trenton, I have to ask, did Ben Franklin really have that much disdain for the Garden State?
Well, I should say I live in New Jersey. Of New Jersey. I'm raising my kids in New Jersey. I love New Jersey. I don't know. I really have no idea what Benjamin Franklin's thoughts were about New Jersey, but I do think that what appealed to me about that particular notion of him feeling like the New Jersey moment is just that I feel like there's something very underdog about New Jersey, especially in comparison, you know, its proximity to New York and all that, that it felt personally resonant in the idea of like, oh, we're, you know, it's an underdog state in the way.
You know, it isn't, but when you think about it, there were the turning point of the Revolutionary War was the Battle of Trenton. I mean, you know, we're underrated, I have to say. When you were writing the play, what did you discover about Ben Franklin you'd never known before? Were there any big surprises? And how much of this play is fact and how much is fiction?
The true answer is the most surprising thing was in the relationships, you know, was in this extraordinary conflict between him and his son that felt just so rich that I couldn't help but just base the whole play around it. And in terms of fact and fiction, like I would say basically almost all the details, just because all of that stuff is really unknowable, just like kind of the, like how did they react to individual moments in life? How did they talk to each other? Like how did they, like where were those turning points in those relationships? Not just in terms of what was happening historically, but just in how they happened interpersonally. That stuff is all, you know, heavily fictionalized, but the broad strokes, I would say, are all, you know, I think the broad strokes are all relatively true. Like I tried to base all those decisions on at least things that are at least anecdotally factual.
Okay. So Franklin Land is not the only play you've written about real life characters. Tell us about The Chinese Lady.
It's a play that explores the historical figure of Afang Moy, who was the first Chinese woman to set foot in the United States. And it came about when I was doing research for another play into Asian American history. And as I was doing that work, that research, I was just coming across all these extraordinary stories that I'd never heard that just, to be really frank, just kind of haunted me. Like they felt so urgent and it felt so palpable to me. And so Afang Moy came to the United States in the 1830s when she was just like a preteen. And she was put on display for people to come and look at her like a museum curiosity.
And she came alone, no parents, I assume.
Yeah, she was brought over by merchants. And the idea was that she was brought to help sell products. She was brought over by importers who used her, you know, within these displays to try to sell the goods that they had imported. As I started to think about this, and I didn't know everything about why I was interested in or haunted by this story at the time, there are so many ways in which I was haunted by it, but a big one was just thinking about the resonance with today, and thinking about me and my, you know, Asian American theater peers and the ways in which we perform a certain identity and how that, you know, how it's hard to track sometimes. Mm-hmm. What you think others expect you to perform, the ways others might expect you to be, and the way you actually are.
One of your other works has the marvelous title, The Wong Kids in the Secret of the Space Chupacabra Go. That's a mouthful. There's got to be a lot to unpack there. Can you please tell us what that one's about?
Yes, that was a play for young audiences. It was a, the first play I'd ever written for young audiences. And it was an action adventure about two Asian American superheroes, ordinary kids who discover they have superpowers. You know, the gesture was really about trying to imagine what kind of a play might have had the most impact on me when I was that age, like between, you know, 8 to 12. The title speaks to a kind of a maximalism, like this approach of wanting to just put as much as I could into this play.
What do you want people to come away with after they listen to this play?
I really appreciate that question. I feel like like with anything, I hope that anything that I write operates on multiple levels. And for this play in particular, I think the levels that it operates on were this intensely human level of just being about fathers and sons, about interpersonal relationships, about being part of something and feeling connected to a legacy. The play was written in a very different cultural moment than we're in now. And it's lived through many cultural moments in between. And I think that the resonances are hopefully as different and reflective of those times as they can be.
Well, on that note, Lloyd, sir, thank you so much for joining us today.
Thank you, Susan. It was great. Great to be part of this process.